5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. Coming up on today's show, Virgin Galactic blasts off. Their stock is the one to watch this morning for day trading. We're going to be taking a look at that stock, SPCE, in just a few moments. Congress returns from vacation to tackle the stimulus infrastructure. They have a lot of work to do before they take their next vacation in just a few weeks. It's like, maybe it's like a vacation in between a vacation. I don't know what they're going to do, but we'll get to the stimulus update. We got some good news on that front because they're going to at least try to get it done before that August recess. And gas prices, get ready for more, to pay more again at the pump. Yes, gas prices continue to go up. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Don't shoot the messenger on this Monday morning. Morning Invest starts right now. And good morning, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris, investor. And on this show, we teach you how to build wealth by turning those short-term profits into long-term holds. We are live every morning right here at 9 a.m. Eastern time. So thank you for supporting independent journalism. We are not bought and sold by the billionaire corporations. And my thanks to all of you for subscribing and becoming a member of our great community. David is here in the old control booth. How was your weekend, my friend?
Good morning. It was good. I didn't do it, but we went hiking a couple times. It was like 87 yesterday, it felt like. I mean, it was really hot when we went hiking yesterday. We had to turn around and walk back. It was so hot. Like, this is ridiculous. We're out here. It felt like we were in the desert.
Are you guys getting hit? Yeah, you guys are getting hit with that massive, like, heat wave out there, right?
I wouldn't say it's too bad. It is dry right now, but not as bad as it was. We hit like 112 or so, I think it was last week. But this week it's been, you know, high 70s, 80s.
Yeah, nice. God, every time this camera gets reset, every time it goes to this menu, like, how many times do I have to tell you it's English? Like, what the heck is with this camera? Like, it's, yes. And, like, the power source is continually connected. I don't know what's happening with this one camera. Hope everyone's doing well in the chat. Kristen Miller is here. Belinda Edwards is here. Tina C. Daris is here. Derek Eads. Hey, Derek. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Yeah.
Michelle Brown is here. Sweet Vintage TV and Movies is here. Wolf Clan is here. Bon dia. Michelle Brown is here. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. We have a daily newsletter that we publish as well. I want to let everyone know about it. It's called Morning Invest. If you want to be more informed, we try to make it really entertaining. You can read it in about 5 minutes over your cup of coffee in the morning. Learn something new. Just go to morninginvest.com. It's sent by email right to your inbox first thing in the morning between 6 and 7 a.m. Eastern time. It's totally free. Again, you can read it over your cup of coffee. I've got my coffee in my Mandalorian mug this morning. So just read it. Enjoy it. And put in your email address at morninginvest.com. You'll be added to our list. It supports our show. It helps us keep doing what we're doing. Plus, you get an awesome newsletter first thing in the morning. It's Grover approved. It's Grover's favorite part of waking up because he gets to curl up with me and Natalie while we're writing the newsletter first thing in the morning. It's just, he likes to snuggle up. All right. Grover is ready for the show. Let's do it. Hey, let's start with the markets this morning because stocks start the week already at record highs this morning. Whether they continue their epic run depends on the strength of these companies' Q2 earnings reports. So starting tomorrow, this is going to be a huge week. There are really a lot of big things we're going to be watching this week. We're going to see if inflation is a major concern for these companies. We're also going to be watching consumer sentiment this week, and that is probably the most important thing we're going to be watching. It's like, what do you guys think is going on right now? Are you guys going to the movies? Are you buying food? Are you going out to restaurants? Are you worried about your rent? So consumer spending, consumer sentiment is going to be a big factor this week. We're going to be watching that very closely, but also the earnings reports. We've got JP Morgan, we've got Pepsi, we've got tons of major companies. So this could be a very, very big week that we're going to be watching in the economy this week. Also, some big concerns over COVID. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was speaking. She's, of course, working right now on this deal on raising the global minimum tax. She was speaking yesterday about that, the global minimum tax being raised. They have now come to an agreement on that. But she was saying yesterday that the spread of this Delta variant could thwart our economic recovery. She says, quote, "What happens in any other part of the world at all affects all other countries." She and other economic leaders spent the weekend discussing how to vaccinate 70% of the world by next year. And I mean, I don't know if you saw, I mean, I watched the Euro Cup. How many of you, raise a hand, watched England-Italy game last night, 3 p.m. Eastern time? But it was an amazing Euro Cup 2020 game last night. Of course, got canceled last year, so they had to play the 2020 Cup this year. Kind of weird. But anyway, I mean, they had 70,000 people in the stands at Wembley Stadium, no masks. I mean, you're just seeing huge spikes right now in COVID. There are some concerns. U.S. has recorded 20,000 new COVID cases 3 days in a row. That's the first time since May, as this Delta variant continues to ravage areas with low vaccination rates. So, you know, it's going to be interesting as we head into the fall, and to watch how these companies respond. Do you when you're out and about, David, like in your neck of the woods up there in Washington State, are people like fully masked up? Like, what's going on where you live?
No, not at all. It's completely like, I mean, grocery store, everything. There's very. I went to the Container Store, went to IKEA yesterday, and hardly any masks.
Well, yeah, it's gonna. I don't know. You saw all these countries, and can you blame them? I mean, look, England, Italy was, of course, incredibly hard hit. They were playing in the Euro Cup finals. Everyone was out in Rome at the big events watching Italy play. And can you blame them after being like locked up for 2 years, basically, wanting to get out, be among people, kind of have some normalcy again? It's just, I don't blame anybody, but I don't know. I guess we'll see what these numbers look like in the next few weeks, I guess, but some scary stuff. Hey, I've got, you want to see one of my crappy charts?
Well, so not if you're going to set it up like that.
You want to see one of my crappy charts? So these are the pre-market hot trades that I'm watching today. Check this out. Here's my crappy graphic. There it is. MRIN.
Every time I see that font, I think.
Almost like Lost in Space, right? It's like a little like Lost in Space 1960s. I don't know. I like that old school font. Anyway, CARV is back in play again. CARV, CARV is a hot trade today for, if these are, again, day trading stocks that I'll be watching today. Also, Space, of course, is the big story. Space, SPCE, is Virgin Galactic. We're watching that one right now to see how that does in pre-market. Here's a look at the pre-market on Space right now. Just kind of waiting. We're waiting to see if this thing's going to explode as it did pre-market, or if it's going to settle back down to Earth. So we'll be watching that pretty closely. And then also on our chart today, we've got MMAT and Donut. Can you guys guess what company is Donut? Donut is what I'm watching.
Krispy Kreme?
Krispy Kreme. DNUT, Krispy Kreme. So I have to say, Space was the number one talked about stock on Reddit's Wall Street Bets forum last night. So I think a lot of people are going to be watching Space very, very closely.
So can you track the donut stock an increase whenever the hot sign goes on.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. At one particular restaurant, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I like if they could coordinate the hot sign to go on at the exact same time, the nationwide, to see if there was a spike in the stock at that particular moment.
That would be pretty cool. Although they don't go on at the same time. It's like if everyone jumps at the same time, does the earth move? No.
Yeah, that's true. But we would, that would be some science I would help with.
The thing is with Krispy Kreme, I can't just eat one of them. They're so light. Like I can eat like five Krispy Kreme.
Oh, I can't even, you know? I am not allowed within 20 miles of that restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. All right. We've got a lot of news to get to. We're going to get to the stimulus update here, what Congress is doing. But I want to tell you about it first, our friends over at Webull. Do you guys want to get some free stocks? I mean, why wouldn't you want to get some free stocks? And right now, Webull is giving away, for their July proposal or their July promotion right now, Webull is giving away stocks valued, and this is even an older video, up to $2,000. And they're doing fractional shares now at Webull. So you don't have to buy a full share of a stock. You don't have to buy like a full Apple share. You can buy a fraction of an Apple share. So you can open an account, you'll get a free stock, and then once you make a $5 deposit, you'll get that second free stock valued up to $2,000. And here's what I like about Webull. Even if you don't use it for anything else other than learning, they have an awesome simulator. They have a stock trading simulator inside the app, which is really, really great. So you can download their desktop app. Just play along at home. Like you want to learn how to day trade and make a lot of money, try this at home. And you don't have to use your actual money. Learn for a few months. Then once you feel confident that you've got it, you understand how the system works, great. Then you jump into it and start making a lot of money. So again, go to morninginvest.com/Webull, get two free stocks, and now with fractional shares. In fact, right before the show, they also announced that you now can trade Cardano in crypto. Of course, you could already trade Bitcoin and Ethereum and Dogecoin. Now they added Cardano, one of my favorites. So that is now available on Webull that they announced just this morning. So our thanks to them for supporting the show. All right, let's get to the stimulus news this morning because Congress has a massive legislative slate on tap as the Senate returns today. The House is backed next week, and there seems to be a huge number of ways that this year can end. There's a lot of variables. Like if you were trying to figure this out in Vegas, you're going to pull your hair out trying to figure this out. The key question right now for President Joe Biden and leaders in both party on the Hill is, you know, what happens to the bipartisan hard infrastructure package. You know, the one they all agreed on? It was like $1 trillion. Remember that one, you guys? I mean, it seems like it's been so far. Like, how long ago was this, right?
It wasn't that far. It seems like forever.
I know. It doesn't seem like it was only a few weeks ago. But it seems like it was forever ago. And it hasn't passed yet. So what happens to that is the real big question. Will it help? It's going to help basically decide then what happens on the Democrats' budget resolution and their next reconciliation package, which includes Biden's American Jobs Plan and the American Families Plan. So it looks like here's the good news. It looks like they are going full force on this reconciliation bill. But here's the bad news. It doesn't look like it's going to be under consideration until this fall. But I have to say, just looking at this, my perspective is we've passed the point of no return on this, meaning that with all of the job data and the economy of booming data, you know, the question is there an appetite for this right now? Meaning, and we were predicting this, weren't we, on the show? Like, jobs data is looking good. Companies are trying to hire 9 million jobs, but they can't fill them. So they're trying to hire as much as they can. Housing prices are off the charts. Wall Street's doing great. And now you're going to see members of Congress like Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema basically saying, hey, we probably don't need to do anything anymore. Everything's getting back to normal, right? And that's what I think we were saying on this show. Could be wrong, but I think you can be my fact checker. I mean, I think that's what we're saying.
I just fact checked that and it fact checked true.
Well, here's what James Polykaitis says, Pethikoikos. Pina Colada.
Passamaquoddy. Passamaquoddy.
He's from AEI. His name is James. His last name is up to you. Here's what he had to say on what we're going to do right now and what Congress is facing as they get back to work today. Petikatis?
Just may not be able to sell it to their electorate.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you're sort of in the middle of a crisis, it looks like, wow, we need to do a lot. The government needs to do big things. We're going to be getting more, some, you know, continue to get some big job numbers. We're going to be getting some crazy big GDP numbers. And it's not, even though this isn't supposed to be stimulus, it's supposed to be sort of, you know, long-term spending, it's not going to look like we're in a crisis. And the other big number people are going to see is, are these big deficit numbers. I think progressives in the Democratic Party, who are very excited because they thought they're going to have a massive election win, talking about a transformational presidency and all that, they need to adjust to this reality. They have basically a deadlocked Senate, narrow House majority. Yeah. And some of those key senators don't want those big tax hikes, and they don't want $6 trillion in spending in addition to all the other spending we've done so far.
Yeah, if you go back.
So Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he wants to set up a floor vote on the bipartisan infrastructure bill and a budget resolution with the reconciliation instructions before the Senate goes on recess for the August. But so real question is, does the bipartisan infrastructure bill collapse because they know that we're moving towards the reconciliation? I don't know. But Schumer has already warned that he's going to keep the Senate in session past the August 6th recess, if needed, to pass these measures. I love this warning, like, oh, you might not have your second vacation this, or your third vacation this summer, off the whole month of August. But a lot would need to happen to make sure that Schumer's timeline turns into reality. The bipartisan infrastructure bill needs to be put into legislative text quickly, as soon as this week, if possible, if it needs to be scored by the Congressional Budget Office. If the CBO needs to weigh in on all of this, then we need to have this thing written down. None of us have seen it yet. We keep talking about this thing, but we don't have any actual framework yet. We don't know what the actual text will look like.
Well, like they always say, wait, you can read it when it passes.
Yeah, like, yeah, we gotta pass the bill so we know what's in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you not see how people react when they try to let us know what's in it before they vote on it? Like, it's no good for them. We read into it too much, so, you know, they have to wait till it's all complete, then sign it, and then let us see it.
Yeah. Yeah, let's wait. Let's just wait till we know what's in this thing.
Can't have the peasants, you know, protesting.
No, but the bipartisan group, they are priority know what's in it. We just don't get to see what's in it, right?
Yeah.
Because this bipartisan group of 10 senators needs to find 10 Republicans to support the infrastructure bill, meaning 5 more than they currently have, while holding all 50 Democrats as well. So
wait,
Joe Manchin, I thought they all had to be on, they were already on board. Maybe not.
Wait, I thought when they were, you know, during the Georgia runoff, the whole thing was we got to get all the Democrats in there because with the Democrat controlled House and Senate, they won't have to need the Republican support. What happened with that?
Exactly. Well, hey, at least they won the vote, but actually legislating then later and supporting the people that got them in, that goes out the window, of course, right away. So don't split hairs over it, David. The House and the Senate would also have to informally agree on a budget as well. On top of all that, there's going to have to be a nearly flawless floor performance for both of those measures to get through the Senate during the next few weeks. The budget resolution will take a week to pass on the floor itself, and that's not even finalized yet either. So here are my three scenarios, okay, that's going to roll here. You vote on these, and you tell me what you guys think here in the chat. Let me know which of the three you think is most likely to happen here, okay? Number one, Congress struggles with the budget resolution and the infrastructure package and then wastes the rest of July sort of flailing around like a dead bird or a flopping bird. It's not dead yet. And then after they fruitlessly stay in town for part of August, Congress recesses for a couple of weeks. That brings us to September, during which time then lawmakers have to find a way to fund the government and then lift the debt ceiling again. Okay, so they wasted all this time. Does this sound like last year to you? Does this sound like Mitch McConnell's Senate last year? Do nothing, wait to see how things play out, and then come back after September break and figure out what to do, and then you're scrambling against a debt limit ceiling deadline? That's exactly what we're headed towards. That's scenario number one, okay? So if history repeats itself, we're going to be right back there. Here's my second scenario. The bipartisan Senate infrastructure deal totally falls apart. That's my second scenario, short and sweet. Here's my third scenario. Democrats struggle to pass a stopgap funding bill, and they have a tough time with raising the debt limit because they can't pass an infrastructure bill or a budget. So what do you think happens there? I mean, they basically have to pass a stopgap spending. That, to me, I think number three is probably what's most likely. I don't know, maybe two. They can't get anything done. It all falls apart. I don't want to be cynical. You know me. I'm usually a positive kind of person. So I'm not, I'm not usually that cynical. But I don't know. I think that's... What does everyone think? Number three, John says number three? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's one of all the above. I just think that, you know, whatever, as soon as the stuff that benefits us gets pulled out of it, I think it'll pass.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. Well, that's what we have to look forward to this summer. So, hey, the good news is they're back from break right now, and the Senate seems to be pushing forward as much as they can to get this thing through. We'll see. This week is going to be a real telltale sign of where we go over the next few weeks. So I think this week is going to tell us a lot about how this is. If we see some smooth sailing in the next few days, good, we could be on the way. Let's talk about gas prices this morning. The price of gas across the United States is 97 cents higher than it was 1 year ago and 5 cents higher than it was 2 weeks ago. So we've got gas prices on the rise. An international trade disagreement has caused prices to continue to climb, but experts say it should level out in the near future. The average price right now for a gallon of gasoline is $3.21 per gallon of petrol, $3.30 per gallon of diesel. The highest price in the nation is in San Francisco, of course, where petrol is $4.39 per gallon right now. Crude oil prices also were responsible for this instability, but now that prices of crude have stabilized, consumer prices should too, right? But don't expect them to go back down anytime soon. So, hey, we were told, right, that crude oil like prices, the craziness with OPEC in the Middle East, that's why we're seeing an increase in prices last week over the past 2 weeks. Well, now that's all stabilized. So why are prices still high? And why are they projected to go up even further?
Because they got to pay for the infrastructure. They were like they're proposed a gas tax, and we freaked out because why would you tax us? You're already, you know, hurting us in so many other ways. They're like, how could we do this? Oh, I know. There's been a major hack to the pipeline. That went up. We accepted that. Okay, we'll accept that. There was a hack. That was fixed. Prices didn't go down. And then they had this whole, you know, Saudi Arabia thing, and now all of a sudden that's been fixed. Price is still going up. So I think it's just a clever way for them to pay for their whatever the stuff is they're wanting to pass now.
I mean your guess is as good as mine, but it's amazing. We've been told like, hey, it was the Colonial Pipeline hack, that's the issue. Then it's Middle East oil uncertainty with OPEC, Saudi Arabia, and United Arab Emirates. That's now moderated. Okay, what's going on now? But you're going to have to pay more. Is it that demand is just that off the charts? Is people, so many people are driving right now because of the summer holiday that's what it is? You let me know in the chat what you think about that.
Well, and think about it. It's not really going to be the case, because if it was like, let's say it was like a toilet paper type situation, right? Mm-hmm. You have a very few people that are going and just filling up mass containers of gasoline and hoarding gas. I mean, you don't have a lot of people that are equipped to do that. You did even see people putting like plastic in the back of their trucks and filling up their truck beds with gasoline to try to get gas or whatever. But like, that can't happen on a mass scale. So it's not like people are hoarding gas.
Right. Yeah, I love that video of that guy filling up his flatbed of his truck.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What are you going to do with that, by the way? Like, you know, you got to rotate that gas. You can't just like let it sit there in the open air for
a few weeks.
Well,
yeah, and you're going to have bugs in it and everything, like flies and mosquitoes, and you're going to put it in your tank.
Yeah.
It just seems fishy to me. It just seems fishy that we were told that it was because of a pipeline hack, and then all of a sudden nothing's changed, and we were supposed to be non-dependent on anybody. We're supposed to be, you know, self-dependent on oil right now.
You mean to tell me you're skeptical of what our government tells us?
I am. Every word they say, I'm skeptical until I that's
shocking.
What sends me down the rabbit hole. I go down a rabbit hole and try to prove myself wrong, and then all I do is end up proving myself more and more right.
I know. That's a thing. So that's why sometimes I just got to close my computer. Hey, looking at Virgin Galactic popping early this morning. So Virgin Galactic SPCE, this is the stock to watch this morning after Richard Branson's space flight. We'll get to that in a moment, but that's what's happening right now. I'm popping this morning. Hey, I got a straw poll for you. So we had over the weekend, former President Donald Trump won a straw poll out at the CPAC conference, picking him as the Republican presidential candidate for 2024. He was there. He accepted the honors. Say, thank you so much. The Conservative Political Action Conference this weekend. This is not, of course, an official election by any means, but it does show that the Republican Party right now is, you know, that has not moved on. It has not moved on from him. They're fully in the Trump camp. They have not lost their appetite for former President Trump. He received 70% of the votes, followed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis with 21% of the votes. So Ron, not even close. The remaining votes were divvied up between Senators Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Kristi Noem of South Dakota, former Vice President Mike Pence received 0% of the votes. 0%. But it wasn't without moments. There were some moments, though, I wanted to show you this. So Republican Lauren Boebert gave out a huge bowl of hypocrisy.
We're here to tell government we don't want your benefits. We don't want your welfare. Don't come knocking on my door with your Fauci-ouchie. You leave us the hell alone.
Your Fauci-ouchie? What is that?
I think she means the stick, the prick, the vaccine.
The prick. So people were quick to jump all over Lauren Boebert this weekend because, you know, we don't want your government benefits. We don't want your Medicaid. We don't want your Medicare. We don't want your welfare. People were quick to point out, hey, Lauren, remember, you were raised on welfare. Like, your mom raised you on welfare. I'm living the American dream, she tweeted. I came up from welfare, standing in line waiting for government cheese to now running for Congress. Let's keep these radical socialists out of government so the people can be empowered to lift themselves out of poverty rather than wait on government. What? Okay. So
how are they supposed to empower themselves during a global pandemic?
Yeah. Wait, didn't Lauren Boebert's mom raise her on welfare? Okay, cool. She came up from welfare because her mother needed the very government benefit she's now bashing. The hypocrisy is live and well. How in the world can this go over well in red states? No unemployment, no Medicare, no Social Security, no disability, no food stamps, no welfare. Good for you. So she was saved by socialism as a child, basically, Doug says. Yeah. Here's what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says. Tell them loud and proud, girl. GOP will strip your unemployment protections, dismantle any semblance of a public safety net we have left, then make working people pay more for everything on low wages while Wall Street gets a meal ticket. Good old conservative values, baby.
Well, I mean, that's
We're
kind
here
of...
We're to tell government we don't want your benefits, we don't want your welfare. Don't come knocking on my door with your Fauci-ouchie. You leave us the hell alone.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, that's kind of a hypocrisy from Cortez with that, because she didn't really fight for the $15 minimum wage, you know?
Well, yeah, she could have fought for that even more. Oh, yeah, there's a good bowl of hypocrisy more to go all around, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did the left do on that? But
she can tweet. She tweets. That's about all she does.
That's about all they do on the left.
Yeah.
You know, on the far left. I'm talking the progressive left. Yeah, but... So you had your moments there. This is the message, though. Hey, Trump's our guy. We don't want any Medicare. We don't want unemployment benefits. We don't want vaccinations. This is CPAC 2021 right now. And Vice President Mike Pence with zero votes. That's him. That's him.
I think you have to have some personality to get some kind of votes, you know?
You think so?
He has zero personality.
Yeah. Hey, I want to tell you about our friends over at IP Vanish. Before the market opens, we got 2 minutes until the market opens. So our friends at IP Vanish, these guys are fantastic. As you know, I am a big fan of IP Vanish. And why am I a fan? Because they help protect our privacy. It's a virtual private network, a VPN for short. It's a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on your computers, your tablets, your phones, even things like your Fire Stick or your Apple TV. When you're using a VPN, all of your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing is protected when you use IP Vanish. And they're giving you 65% off if you use our link. If you go to ipvanish.com/morninginvest, that's just $3.49 for the first month. You get anonymous IP addresses. So you can circumvent any online censorship. Get protection when using public Wi-Fi. So go to ipvanish.com/morninginvest. Claim your 65% savings. This is the time to sign up with our discount. In their current promotional offerings, you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offerings. IP Vanish is the best of the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot, and that is with some more than 6,000 reviews. Show these guys some love. They are repeat sponsors. They are repeat sponsors of our show. Remember, it's ipvanish.com/morninginvest to get the deal. Start protect your data online. So Sir Richard Branson became the very first billionaire into and out of space this weekend. Well, he was on the edge of space, but we're going to actually count it as actual space. Branson's company, Virgin Galactic, was the first to blast into space in this way. And I have to say, you got to think like, man, Bezos is probably like kicking himself for like, you know, like, oh, I could have been me. It could have been me. Anyway,
Branson,
he's been working.
Did any government money for this or did he do this on his own?
I think it was totally self-funded. It was self-funded.
So he didn't even ask for it like Bezos did?
Yeah.
Well, that's a cool looking. Dang, that's neat looking.
That is cool. He's been working on this for 17 years. Branson was up and back in just over an hour, returned to Earth saying that the flight was the experience of a lifetime. Branson rode on a bicycle to his space flight, although it wasn't for eco reasons because he was flanked by two SUVs on the drive. But Branson pioneered the journey just before Bezos did. And then, of course, Elon Musk is also going to go up on their own. I guess, as my wife said this morning, she said, I guess it's something you do if you're a wealthy white man. This is what you do. The stock like surging in early market, you know, as the market opens right now, this is what we're watching right now.
Well, there has to be a time. You know, when you're sitting there in your living room, you've got billions of dollars and you're like, man, what else could I spend my money on? You know what? Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go to space.
Yeah. I'm just going to, that's the thing to do.
Yeah.
That's the thing to do. I'm just going to go to space. You know, why not?
Hey, look, I just realized I'm wearing my NASA shirt today.
See? And on, you didn't realize it.
I didn't.
I'm wearing my Morning Invest sweatshirt today. Here's Virgin Galactic at the market open. So the morning bell just moments ago. And let's see here. $48.49 right now. Volume is actually pretty low. Pretty low at 1.3 million. Sorry, I was reading the wrong candle. Kind of dumping. Oh. Yep, here's a massive sort of sell-off coming first thing. This could be a washout long situation first thing in the morning here on Virgin Galactic. Could be tanking hard right out of the gate. Yeah, looks like it's plummeting here. I would have thought this, I didn't think it was going to take off a little bit, but of course we also had early morning pre-market was up pretty high. Look at this. Look at this thing took off, exploded pre-market. So this is good for any long position plays today. Looks like on space SPCE, it is dumping big time though. You know, it was up 10% this morning. I mean, and, you know, Branson, when he was up in space, had this message from space. You know, this is one of those like stressful things you got to think about. Like, what am I going to say when I'm up there? Because you're going to speak on camera. You got to think like, is it going to be like Neil Armstrong, who didn't think about what he was going to say when he landed on the moon until he landed on the moon? He didn't know what he was going to say. And then who was the guy that sent the first tweet in space? he said, all he said was awesome blast off or something like that. So you had Neil Armstrong's great quote. Then you had, is it Massimo? I think it was his name. I forget who said great, great takeoff or something.
I mean, he did only have 160 characters, so he probably was just like, I don't even want to like think about how much I can actually say. Let's just make it short and sweet. It's yeah. Twitter.
It's Twitter. Hey, great. It was great to rock it off. Great to blast off. But here's what Branson had to say from space.
To all you kids down there, I was once a child with a dream, looking up to the stars. Now I'm an adult in a spaceship with lots of other wonderful adults looking down to our beautiful, beautiful Earth. To the next generation of dreamers, if we can do this, just imagine what you can do. Hey!
Come on out.
Now, I got to say, I mean, I would absolutely, so I'm not bashing him at all. I would absolutely love to go to space. Are you kidding me? I would freaking love it. There's just a lot of questions, though. I mean, when you see like these in a time when we're, you know, you can't, it's like you can't have one without the other, right? You can't, you have massive income inequality in the United States at this time. And you see these billionaires racing for the stars, you know, on the backs of these, you know, when you look at like Bezos, who's, you know, receiving billions of dollars in government support for Blue Origin, paying $0 in taxes. How can you not have an opinion about how the disparity between what millions of Americans are feeling, and then they see an hour special report on the weekend to watch Richard Branson blast into space.
And you're right.
I can't afford it. I can't build a rocket, but hey, good for him who did.
That's the kind of guy too that he after the cameras went off, they probably did all kinds of crazy things up there in zero gravity.
I know, he popped open some champagne. They all took off their space suits. The only thing is, they only have 4 minutes. It's good enough some, I guess. Yeah, 4 minutes. Because they go over the crest and it's what's known as the apogee, right? So then you're like space, you're weightless for about 4 minutes, and then upon reentry, so you're literally on the edge of space, literally at the edge of space. So yeah. Anyway, it was the most mentioned stock on Reddit's Wall Street's forum this weekend, by the way.
I don't know. I have no desire. Like, I think it'd be different if I was going to a destination, but just flying in zero gravity or whatever. I don't have any desire to do that.
But if I was going to
like a station or something where I could get back into gravity, because you don't know how you're going to feel in zero gravity, like what that's going to feel like. And somebody who suffers from anxiety, like, I think I would be too anxious.
Yeah. Like, you want to go to a space station, like Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, like, put me to sleep. I'll sleep the whole way there. You know,
like B.A. Baracus on A-Team?
Yeah.
We got to knock you out every time?
Yep, knock me out, get me on the space station, put me back in gravity, and wake me up.
Oh, I love that. Oh, man.
I found an article on that TV dimming, too, by the way. I'm going to send you on Facebook Messenger.
I'm not sure what the issue is, but well, okay, yeah, send it to me. So, yeah, TPST, here's another stock, Tempest Therapeutics, another one that I'm watching this morning. You know, I got a message from somebody over the weekend that said, hey, Clayton, I'm disappointed in you. I invested in CARV, C-A-R-V, last week while I was watching along live with your show, and I lost some of my savings. I'm disappointed. I said, well, don't be disappointed in me. Like, I made a lot of money on CARV. Like, I don't know what, if you're new to this, if you're new to learning how to trade, like, spend months in a simulator. Don't use your own money. If you're learning how to, you know, if you're learning how to do this, and as I say, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm showing you what moves I'm making. I'm never telling any of you to make a trade like buy now, sell now. I would never do that. So, and I said, hey, you know, buddy, I'm happy to help you here. Send me your chart. I want to see what you did wrong. Because, but to send an email to me and say,
well, I tried to hit unsend right after I sent it, but it, it was like, you got that small window and I couldn't click the button in time. So I was like,
I figured I'd talk to you now. Like, you know,
you don't want to see my chart.
No, I don't. So Carve. Yeah. Last week, Carve, you know, I traded like three times and made really good money on Carve. But, you know, that's me trading at a certain time and buying it and for a few seconds later selling it, you know, on and being, you know, if you're buying it and holding it or you're doing, I can't speak to that. I'm just telling you what I'm doing. But then to blame somebody else because of your bad trade, like, here's does that make any sense?
Here's mine right now. That's my.
Wow. Is that your public account?
That's my Cash App.
Hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Steak dinner.
Yep.
Ralph, you had your appendix out? Hope you're doing okay, Ralph.
Yeah.
So anybody have any questions for me? Open it up to super chats, anything here? I'm going to pull this monitor over here. So, you know, I don't know how I feel about this. And here's the difference between the Bezos thing, by the way, if you're curious about like the difference. Bezos's Blue Origin is all automated. So, you know, what's interesting to me in this is that Virgin Galactic, his whole spaceship is actually there's two test pilots, like excellent test pilots, you know? And so when Blue Origin, that's Bezos's company, goes up, that thing is it is automated. So I don't know. It's interesting that the differences there. I think they both have definitely their utility for taking people to space. But it's interesting that one is like an automated service, basically like a driverless Uber to space. And then the other one, you've got these like high quality test pilots. They're going to be doing like some of the best pilots in the world. Which one would you rather travel on? Thanks, guys. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for the support. Much love to all of you guys. I will see you back here. I've got a video later this afternoon I'll be publishing, and then put a lot of work into, and we'll be back here bright and early for another edition of the show. So much love to all of you guys. We'll see you a little bit later.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.